So it tells us in Parshas Korach, after the entire machlokas of Korach v'Hadassa, so the Torah tells us in Bamidbar Perek Yizayin Pasukei, v'lo yiyeh k'Korach v'Hadassa, that a person should not be like Korach and Hadassa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kafiyah darshins from this pasuk, kol machzik b'machlokas over belav shenemar v'lo yiyeh k'Korach v'Hadassa. The Gemara darshins in Masechta Sanhedrin that anyone that engages in a machlokas violates a prohibition that the Torah tells us not to be like Korach and Hadassa. There seem to be three main views, at least in Rishonim, as to what this pasuk actually comes to teach us and how you relate to this drasha and the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Rashi in his Perush al HaTorah, the Maharal highlights this elaborates on this in Gur Aryeh. This is also what you find in the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, and that is that it's just nasmachta. The real pasuk is just describing, it says vilo, it's not a real formal isser of just lo yihyeh k'korach v'cha adaso, but the Torah itself, there's no real formal isser doraisa to be engaged in any machlokas, at least from this pasuk. It's only an asmachta. The Torah is just telling us in the course of explaining the aftermath of the debate of what happened with Korach and the lessons that we're supposed to learn as far as who can be makrif k'torahs and who can't, that a person, that we're going to do certain things in order so that people will not do what Korach did. But strictly speaking, there's no formal prohibition to be like Korach at all. The Ramban understands that this is, in fact, a real isser. A person's not allowed to be like Korach, but nevertheless, explains the Ramban, the real isser is that you can't be like Korach. What does it mean to be like Korach? It means to be someone who's going to be yachlok al hakahuna. Someone that's going to be frustrated or upset about the fact that the Kohanim seem to be better positioned, that the Kohanim are able to receive certain things. They get the 24 manos kahuna, and I'm going to want to start a whole fight. Why do the Kohanim get it? Why don't I get it? So it says the Ramban, the Torah is prohibiting not just any machlokas, but a particular form of machlokas, specifically the kind of machlokas which takes place between a person, a Yisrael, that says, I don't like what's going on with the Levi, I don't like what's going on with the Kohanim, I want to oppose that. But undoubtedly, what seems to be the pashtus of the Gemara, it's the Rabbi Yonah and Shari Tshuva and many other Rishonim, the Smag and others understand it, is the Torah teaching us, v'lo yiyeh k'korach v'cha adaso, that a person should not at all be like Korach. That a person should not engage kol hamachzik b'machlokas over bilav, and that a person should understand that to engage in any form of machlokas is really considered to be problematic. Some elaborate that the shla, the netziv, in a bit of a different context, or explain that some of the people who were involved in the machlokas of Korach even did so l'shem shamayim. And part of what the Torah is teaching us is that even machlokas that are l'shem shamayim are incredibly dangerous, and a person should try to avoid them. The Rabbeinu Yonah goes even further and says, it's not just that a person shouldn't engage in a machlokas, but one who does engage in a machlokas, umutr l'saper lashon hara abal machlokas, that such a person has removed himself, in a certain sense, you're allowed to speak lashon hara about such a person. And the Chavetz Chaim explains, it's because the ultimate goal is always to ensure that there's less machlokas. And therefore, says the Chavetz Chaim, the pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah, or really those Rishonim that understand, that you're allowed to speak lashon hara about a baal machlokas, says the Chavetz Chaim Hilchos lashon hara, as do a variety of other achronim, that even though ordinarily Chavetz Chaim, speaking lashon hara is so terrible, something which a person should always try to avoid, you're allowed to speak lashon hara to the person if it will quiet a machlokas. And we're willing to say that there's no prohibition of lashon hara, or we're going to override the prohibition of speaking lashon hara if it's going to minimize a machlokas. So what we saw so far are really just three different approaches in the Rishonim, how we understand this pasuk, v'yiyeh k'korach v'cha adaso. According to Rashi and the Rambam, there's no real prohibition to engage in machlokas. It's not, Gemara Sanhedrin's only in asmachta. The Torah means that we're going to establish certain lessons so that a person knows to avoid what Korach did, but it's no formal prohibition to engage in machlokas. The Ramban thinks there is in fact an Isser, but the Isser is a challenge to Kohanim, and the mainstream approach, at least a simple read of the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, or Rabbeinu Yonah seems to embrace, is that there is a prohibition to engage in machlokas, and we saw that Rabbeinu Yonah understands that to quiet that machlokas, as the Chavetz Chaim elaborates, one could even speak lashon hara to the person to ensure that there won't be any machlokas at all. There is a very beautiful mahalach in the Nesiva Shalom, and it's one that I think is very important because it highlights something which is interesting. If there in fact is such a machlokas, such an isser to engage in machlokas, why teach it in this particular context? Why teach it as part of the story of Korach? And why not mention it somewhere else? Why not mention it separately as an isser, like so many of the Surim and Chumash are mentioned separately? Why not mention it as far as some of the other machloksim, which took place in Chumash? What exactly is so significant about having it be part of this story as far as Korach goes? Similarly, says Nasi V'Shalom, there does seem to be something unique about the prohibition in general to engage in speaking, Lashon Hara. The prohibition to engage in machlokas at all. It seems like, says the Chaim, and you look at the way that the different Rishonim explain what's going on, is that here is part of this machlokas, the Medrash Rabbah tells us, that kamakasha machlokas, that even though Beis Din Shalmala only punishes when a person's 20 years old, and Beis Din Shalmata when a person's 13 years old, in the machlokas of Korach, even tinokos, even little children, were going to be punished as a result of being shayach and engaged in this machlokas. Not only that, but the Nesiv HaShalom elaborates and says, we know there's a Gemara Mesechus Yuman Daf Tes, that Sinas Chinam is considered to be just as severe as the three cardinal Averas of Gilai Raya, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. The Machlokas seems to be so, so terrible that it's what destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, and it's compared to the three cardinal Averas. What in fact is so terrible about Machlokas that needed to be taught as far as part of the story of Korach, that it needs, says Nesiv HaShalom, its own unique kind of a punishment. The earth is going to open up and swallow people. What is so problematic about Machlokas that it doesn't just seem to be a regular Isser, but it seems to be even more severe. It seems to be even more intense. And Nesiv HaShalom suggests very, very beautifully that if Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, if the basis and the most fundamental principle of all of Torah is that we are supposed to have Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, if the prerequisite for Matan Torah is Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, is to have a certain sense of unity. So says Nesiv HaShalom, if a person engages in Machlokas, they're undermining that fundamental component of what Klal Yisrael is supposed to really be about. That the Zohar writes that whenever there's Pirud between Klal Yisrael, between members of Klal Yisrael, there's also Pirud between Klal Yisrael, there's also separation between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Sha'olam. That there can be separations that exist, that Achdus of Klal Yisrael is necessary, Chazal tell us, says Nesiv HaShalom, for the Shechina to fully be Shorah within Klal Yisrael, for the Shechina to really dwell amongst the Jewish people, there really is a requirement for us to be one, that Hashem looks at us not as Avadim, Hashem looks at us not as slaves, but rather as children, when He sees that all of His children are going to be getting along. So says Nesiv HaShalom, what we learn, it's a unique kind of a machlokas. When there is a machlokas, it's a unique kind of an iser. It's one that has to be taught in the context of a story where even children are punished, because if they're related to machlokas, it's something so, so fundamentally off. So fundamentally off that we say, in a certain sense, Yimos Zakai Val Yimos Chai, like at the Ben Tzor Amora, we'd rather them be able to not be tainted by what's going on, and we'd rather them be able to not at all be connected to machlokas. That we have a special kind of an onesh to highlight, a special kind of a punishment to highlight just how terrible this is, that machlokas is something which can undermine so much. Machlokas is something which can undermine so much as far as what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be.